Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank you for all listening in, and of course, thank you, BBS Radio, for producing the show on this lovely Friday morning in Los Angeles, California, City of Angels. Anyway, before I get on my major subject of today, and I'll get into that, I just do have one brief, well, it'll be sort of brief special announcement or event. For those in the Los Angeles area, or actually Ventura County area, or that whereabouts, during February, I'm actually having a special class. I've been invited once again to a lecture, which I'll be discussing creating and manifesting the practice and the Kabbalah and its living meditation. Learn to manifest with a greater understanding of creating within the universe under the guiding hand of a Kabbalistic perspective. The living meditation. I will be holding that at Soul Centered Shop. And that's at 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. The telephone number is 805-640-8222. And I bet you're getting, what day? When is it? It is February 23rd on a lovely Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. through 3 p.m. Again, that's February 23rd. That's a Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Again, that's at Soul Centered Shop, 311 North Montgomery Street, Ojai, California, 93023. And of course, you can call in and do pre-schedule yourself in there, 805-640-8222. Of course, I have that posted on my site here, so you can always check it out. I want to thank you all. Now, today's little subject, unfortunately, and I understand people's passions and emotional aspects and situations when you see some great tragedy, and believe me, my heart and thoughts go out to the children who were murdered at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. That was a great travesty, and unfortunately, that did happen by some, you know, a crazy lunatic. Very simple. But unfortunately, like a lot of things we happen to do, we have a knee-jerk reaction, and sometimes when we don't think things out, we naturally do the wrong things. Of course, this happened like in 9/11. When that happened, the first thing we did, we had the Patriot Act, which, what did they do? Infringe on our rights for, one is for surveillance issues. They can actually listen to you without even our proper bypassing our constitutional rights, which are protecting us from unwarranted entry into listening or search and seizure laws they are violating. Technically, that's actually illegal under the Constitution, but who knows? It's a sort of bypass now, didn't it? Also, habeas corpus, they can actually throw you in jail, call you enemy combatant without any law, court, or any process, throw you in jail indefinitely, even as an American citizen under the Patriot Act. They also can torture the shit out of you, and you would never know it under the Patriot Act. You have to believe and trust that they're not going to do that. So, of course, that was laid into when out of fear, out of, oh my God, well, look what just happened. What are we going to do? The knee-jerk reaction. So, time to re-educate all those folks about certain things. And I'm talking, I know this may sound a little bit different for those who are outside the United States, who do not understand our Constitution and how bound it is. It's not exactly, there's laws and there are rights. There's a big difference. Laws are put in there in effect to have to protect issues. rights are there for the protected individual, and no majority can take those rights from you. That's what the difference is. This is where you have problems in why we have a republic as opposed to a democracy in reality. Republics have protections for the minority rights. You know, for example, free speech, free religion, da-da-da. Habeas corpus should be another one, due process. These are protections for the individual. And that's what they're supposed to be enforced for. You will not see those in places like Egypt or people, countries like that. Even in the UK, you do not have a protection of your rights. You have no rights. You have laws. So this is what separates, which people outside the United States do not understand. When you look at the Bill of Rights was to protect the individuals against the government and the majority. As famously said by Ben Franklin about democracy, democracy is literally like two wolves and one lamb deciding on what, or sheep deciding what's what they're going to eat for dinner. Paraphrasing, of course. So democracy is not always a good thing. That's mob rule. So emplacements were put for protections for the individual. Now, certain rights came in for certain reasons, and one is the Second Amendment. And to understand, first of all, what is the Second Amendment? And so, of course, we're talking about the right to bear arms. We have to know what it exactly says. Here's exactly what it says, and it was ratified, of course, the Second Amendment. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, it talks about gun rights, and most people, when they listen to it, they may jump to wrong conclusions, and they jump to the wrong conclusions why we have. They may say it's out of date, it's old, it doesn't matter. They had muskets back then. They don't have AKs, they don't have assault rifles. It's really talking about having militias really an army, but it isn't. It really isn't. I know, again, this might sound weird for outsiders and those living outside the United States about how we Americans know well do and have respect for our feelings toward the right to bear arms, but strangely, there is a given reason, and I'm going to talk about this very shortly. And again, I apologize to those who are very deeply felt, and I do felt as well, after the shooting in Newton. But it's not, that wasn't a gun issue, that was really a mental issue. First, I have to mention a couple of myths that I've noticed that were propagated recently on, for example, on Piers Morgan and others talking about what would happen if guns were limited or there's gun control, will that cut down violence? What would happen, actually? Now, here's the facts, and you can't deny the facts. Gun control will not change or diminish murder. It won't. It will not diminish crime. No, it won't. Examples of this, I'll give you a couple really good ones. In fact, it's constantly being brought up about the UK. Let's say the UK, I'm talking about European EU country, a modern country. Speaks even English, right? The UK has a total ban control. Total ban control. While the US is the number one in gun ownership. Right? Well, here's the second fact. This is a fact. The UK is the number one in the world for violent crime. It has over 2,034 violent crimes for every 10,000 people. Now, the US is not even in the top 10. It only has 466 per 10,000 people, okay? The UK is the number one violent crime country in the EU and second overall in the EU. That's a second. Just to talk about Europe alone. While the U.S. doesn't even make, again, 28th in gun murders in the world, it's only 2.97 per 10,000. That's how low it is. Those are the facts. So it's not the guns. Gun control is not going to change the crime. It's going to magically change the situation, but we're jumping, knee-jerking. Another fact is the total crimes in the UK is 10,872 per 10,000 people, while the US alone is 3,959 per 10,000. Did the gun control in the UK change things? No, it didn't. In fact, it went up since their ban. In Britain, such people have been so successful in illegal gun ownership that has been reduced almost to a banishment, where even now the convicted felons in Britain are not put put behind bars. And like I said, the crime rate, including the crime rate committing with guns, is far higher in Britain now than it was back in the days it had restrictions for buying. Why? Because people who are not supposed to have the guns in the first place are getting them. You know, just think about it. You know, gangbangers in the United States, they can't even get guns because a lot of them have felonies. Where do they get guns? They get illegal guns. A lot of them, the crimes that are committed are out of illegal guns. So you're just taking away guns from the good citizens, you want to call them, citizens who aren't felons, who haven't been in jail or haven't committed crimes. We need more, I agree, with more background checks. You know, mentally ill or should be evaluated for getting that, and that should be prevalent. You know, having games that have rape and murder on video games for kids under, even under 10, 11. I remember I had an old girlfriend, and her kid was used to play this game, and it was like, you know, forget the name of it, but it was like, they're sitting there watching rape and murder, and I'm like, wow, this is like an 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10, 11-year-old kid watching that, playing these games. It was like unreal. Anyway, back to the UK in 1954, where there were only about a dozen armed robberies in London, but by the 90s, after decades of tightening restrictions, they actually quadrupled their average. In fact, they had 100 times as many armed robberies. You'll see, notice that gun zealots' constant choice of Britain comparison with the United States are often only tenuous. They're not. It's completely ignoring the fact and the history of both countries. It also ignores other countries that indeed have gun control laws that are quite stronger than the United States. And I'll give you one example: is Russia, Brazil, and Mexico. I did say Mexico. Mexico actually has a total gun ban too. Yeah. And you know how safe Mexico is? Well, go to Juarez. Not exactly safe. Now, all these countries have a higher murder rate than even the United States. A higher murder rate. They have gun bans. So it's not the guns that do it. These are the facts. These are the facts that, like, Pearson Morgan and all of them don't want to talk about. They're basing on, then they'll jump right in. What about the kids and Hook? See, they're trying to mirror your emotional aspects as to using your practical mind. Getting you upset, overstepping, getting upset and fearful, playing fear factor on you. Now, you should also compare these other sets of countries who have had similar results. Gun ownership, again, is extremely high in both Switzerland as in Germany, but the Swiss have a lower gun rate. Other countries with extremely high gun ownership have an extremely low murder rate, and that includes Israel, New Zealand, and even Finland. Those are facts. So it's really, in reality, it's not the guns are the problem. It's the people that are the problem. It's just constantly reinforced. I mean, it's including people who are often determined to push gun controls either by ignorance of facts or defiance of the facts. And these four facts were so prevalent as I was watching Alex Jones disclose these in a very, of course, he was extremely passionate in a recent program with Pierce Morgan. Yet, Jones was called crazy, a lunatic. But these are the facts. You know, there was a recent let me put it this way, on a local show that wanted to check the facts behind what happened. What did Piers Morgan say? And versus since he was talking about the facts behind gun control and whatnot. So I want y'all to first listen to this comment. It was done by a man named Ben Swan on a local TV show in Cincinnati, and he actually offered some very fascinating checks when he went through this. So please listen in, and here it starts.
Among those demanding stricter gun laws is CNN host Piers Morgan. There's one particular stat that Morgan has been citing for weeks. In our commitment to balanced news, Ben investigates the truth behind it in Reality Check.
Last night on CNN's Piers Morgan Tonight, Morgan interviewed radio host Alex Jones. And to say it was wild, well, that would be an understatement. Here's just a small clip.
Answer this question. How many...
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin? I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds?
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000.
As I said, it was wild. And it got even more wild than that. But we wanted to take a look at some of that exchange because the stat that Piers Morgan was continuing to cite, one that Great Britain, which banned guns about 15 years ago, had only 35 gun-related murders in 2011 compared to the United States, which had 11,000. Let's start there, because that number is not correct. According to FBI crime stats for 2011, there were 12,664 homicides in the U.S. Of those, 8,583 were caused by firearms. But of those, 400 are listed as justifiable homicide by law enforcement, 260 justifiable homicide by private citizens. On the other hand, it is true that percentage-wise, Britain has a lower gun homicide rate. With a population of 62.6 million, Great Britain saw 59 gun-related homicides for 2011. Still, not the 35 Piers Morgan keeps citing. But that shouldn't be surprising that the gun homicide rate in a country that bans guns would be lower than in a country where guns are not banned. Where the argument falls apart is when you attempt to claim that fewer guns equals less crime. The U.S. has the highest gun ownership rate in the world, an average of 88 guns per 100 people. That puts it first in the world for gun ownership. Yemen is second with 54.8 guns per 100 people. So that means the U.S. has the highest gun murder rate as well, right? Well, no. Honduras, El Salvador, and Jamaica have higher rates. So do 24 other countries. The U.S., despite being number one in gun ownership, is number 28 in gun homicide, with a rate of 2.97 per 100,000 people. Of course, Piers Morgan isn't calling for the U.S. to be more like El Salvador and Honduras. He's calling for us to be more like Great Britain. So what do the numbers look like there? The U.K. has the second highest overall crime rate in the EU. The U.K. has the fifth highest robbery rate, the fourth highest burglary rate. But more importantly, the EU named Britain as the most violent country in the EU. In the UK, there are 2,034 violent crimes per 100,000 people. That puts it way ahead of even South Africa, with a rate of 1,609 per 100,000. In the United States, we're not even in the top 10. The US has a violent crime rate of 466 crimes per 100,000 residents. So what this means for you is that while people like Morgan insist that the US can learn from Great Britain, well, maybe we can. What we might learn is that violent crime is not the result of a gun or any tool. It is the result of the heart of men and women.
Sorry for the last skip there, but you got the point. It was basically, he was reiterating what I had made, the same statement, the same situation. That... In fact, control the highly emotional debate within the gun control debate, with both sides throwing statistics in front of every which way to Americans on either side, facts are facts. Since Sandy Hook shooting, Piers Morgan has consistently emerged as the Mr. Vocal person, increasing nonstop with his attitude toward gun controls. Now, mind you, and this is where I think most Americans will take offense to it. He's not even American; he's a citizen. And being such, that would be like me going to the UK and telling how the Brits should be living their lives or controlling their laws. And withstanding, especially when somebody doesn't even understand why we have our rights. He's like a foreigner telling us taking our rights. It would be like me telling you, hey, shut up. You do not have the right to free speech. So that was what I thought was pretty bizarre. And what Ben Swan of this show, he particularly outlaid. I mean, Morgan surely threw out a lot of facts, but turned out those facts were all full of shit. He made up his facts consistently. I mean, even though Jones was pretty passionate, he was trying to make a point, and I think some people made it like, oh, Mr. Irrational, Mr. Loony Man, or whatever. Besides the point, he was dead on right. He made a lot of comments that were considered, you know, when he said the 76 thing, what nothing was different than what our forefathers had said. But again, the issue of control is not even about violence. That is not what the Second Amendment says. It's not even what it's for. This is what people don't understand, and especially within the United States, they keep on forgetting. If you ask people, the average person from 30 under, what Roe versus Wade was, I remember they saw just a recent stat, and they didn't even know that it was regarding abortion. That's how ignorant most people are, even about most recent laws, and ignorant about their own rights. So how can you tell people what their own rights are if they're even ignorant of most recent ones that came out in the 1970s? Nobody understands their own rights. They don't even understand that the United States of America, our government, is not a democracy, but a republic. This is a fact. People need to be re-educated to the truth of what we are. Even the Pledge of Allegiance, what do you say? To the Republic. I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, to the Republic, for which it stands. One nation, one God, blah, blah, blah. It's to the Republic, not to the democracy. So what does the Second Amendment say, and what does it stand for? And like I said to you, what does it say? The Second Amendment, I'm going to reiterate just so you can listen to it. And I apologize for repeating it, but sometimes withstanding, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the right of the people to bear arms. And those are the facts. So, now, I again reiterate, sometimes people react in situations. Now, the reaction from the shooting, to me, is sort of likened to 9/11. And what did we get after 9/11? We got, besides the bullshit inquiry, almost similar to a Warren Commission on the JFK assassination. What happened, Ryan? We lost our rights. The Patriot Act, as I said in the beginning of the show, was purely simple bullshit, take away your rights, under the cover of a fear tactic. The Patriot Act, and even using the name Patriot Act, is ironic. They use call it Patriot. The patriots who created a system to protect our rights, they took away in the same name. Call it an oxymoron? That's an oxymoron. The Patriot Act, where we then can they can legally spy on your ass, circumventing our Constitution, and throw even your ass in jail without any due process, or out what we call habeas corpus, meaning being brought before a court or having initially, where habeas corpus is actually sending a writ to have you immediately to remove you from any jail process unless charges are brought forth or unless something's found to be unconstitutional. Therefore, have you immediately released. You do not have that under the statute of Patriot Act. They can throw you in jail, throw you in Guantanamo Bay as an even American citizen, which they have, and And then, it's, of course, not. Let's forget what happened 9/11, which the media, national media, incited fear that eventually got us into Iraq. This same kind of fear, the same issue, getting all feared and all what happened, is being utilized to do what? To take your right to bear guns. And you think your government isn't trying to take your right? They are. This is what was being emphatically imposed. In reference to Morgan and Jones, they were calling Jones a lunatic about there is a elite of globalist agenda. Denying this fact was simply being asleep. There's a fact. Here's the effect by, I'll just read it off to you. It was a famous statement by Rockefeller. He said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and our great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected the promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the world is now sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an elite intellectual elite and the world bankers is surely preferable to a national auto-determination practice in past centuries." David Rockefeller, in an address to the Trilateral Commission meeting in June 1991. Also, he had stated, David Rockefeller, "This present window of opportunity during a truly peaceful and interdependent world order might be built, will not be open for too long. We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." David Rockefeller speaking at the United Nations Ambassador General in 1994 on September 23rd. "The Trilateral Commission is indeed to be the vehicle for the consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of political and government of the United States. The Trilateral Commission represents a skillfully coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate power for the four corners of power: political, economical, intellectual." This was said by U.S. Senator Barry Goldwater from his book in 1964. David Lee Rockefeller, in his memoirs, admits sequels to conspiring for a new world order. In David Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, he admits he is part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and creating a new world order. Here it is from his direct quote on his book, The Memoirs, page 45. "Some even believe we," meaning Rockefeller's family, "are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of course conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it." David Rockefeller. Now, with stating that, a very famous person, not to get off tangent here, who actually wrote, you know, sounds like a prophet here, Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1816, "If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their own currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will go around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered." Sounds like today, doesn't it? So I have one question. During that debate with Pierce Morgan and Jones, brought up the New World Order. I have just one question for anybody out there, whether whatever national news, whether it's CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, BBC, Guardian, Huffington Post, the History Channel, any media, have you ever heard them mention the Bilderbergs? Question is, why not? They exist. They have major meetings with many powerful people. Yet, Jones is a lunatic. Izzy. The question was arise why, and what is the reason for this passion to disarm Americans? It's clearly simple. Use your mind. Was it lunatic about Jones when he said it will be 77-76 if they think they will take and try to take our arms? Ben Franklin made several quotes about liberty, and here's what our forefathers said about our Bill of Rights and the importance of the Second Amendment. And I'll reiterate once again the Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This is what was said by Thomas Jefferson to the American people. The greatest danger to the American freedom is a government that ignores the Constitution, ignores the Constitution, ignores our Second Amendment rights, ignores our rights to a fair hearing and due process. This is what our free, this is what he said. This is what he's talking about. Ben Franklin himself said that given that they that can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither safety nor liberty. Then what are we doing? Giving up a little safety because we're all concerned, and then we have no liberty or safety at all. Thomas Jefferson, this is what in respect, who he was the co-writer of the Second Amendment. Of course, he wrote the Bill of Rights. The co-writer of the Second Amendment, what he said and what he inferred to. And would you call him lunatic? He said the strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is at last resort to protect themselves against tyranny in a government. The strongest reason for people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is as a last resort to protect themselves against tyranny and government. Was he crazy? Was he a lunatic? People, oh, that could never happen. They can't just simply put away people and do things. They haven't. They haven't. With an executive order, FDR through the Japanese Americans into concentration camps. We now have laws that are throwing people left and right. They can throw people just out of politics, throw you in jail and say you're an enemy combatant. Can't they? Ask the Native Americans. They're constantly being infringed on. Here's the co-writer of the Second Amendment, you probably heard of him, George Mason, and this is during 1788 in the ratification of the Constitution. I asked her, what is the militia? It is the whole people. To disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them. These are our forefathers, what they had said about our gun rights. These are the facts. This is what you'll never hear when you hear gun control people, advocates here listening to the truth, Americanism, the truth of the foundation of what we have, our rights. The people are not to be disarmed of their weapons. They are left in full possession of them. That was by Zachary Johnson in the debates in the several states, and the adoption of the federal constitution. Here's what Samuel Adams said. And that said, Constitution be never construed to authorize Congress to infringe the just liberty of the press or the rights of the conscious or to protect the people of the United States who are peaceful citizens from keeping their arms. That was a quote by Samuel Adams in the Philadelphia Independent Gazette on August 20th, 1789. The firearms stand next to importance to the Constitution itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth and the keystone under independence. From the hour the pilgrims landed to the present day, events, occurrences, and tendencies prove that to ensure peace and security and the happiness, the rifle and the pistol are equally indispensable. The very atmosphere of firearms anywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve our honor, a place of honor with all that's good. And that was sent by this guy, you may have heard of him, George Washington, you know, our first president. It was also said under Thomas Jefferson to James Madison, what country can preserve its liberties if their rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. So I asked, some of might have as, you know, having a government without due process by the United States, has it? Have they ever threatened its own citizens or imprisoned them? Examples, I said to you, the Japanese Americans citizen ring a bell. And again today, on the same act, on the Patriot Act, what can they do to you after a 9/11? And there are certainly questions that were proposed. So was Jones a lunatic for even questioning even the cause of 9/11? Yet the fact remains, those who believe under the so-called commission could easily believe in magic bullets that hit JFK, which we know are all bullshit. You know, I can go on about much of things that have transposed, but there was one, I think, conciliatory thing that I think that was important to listen to. You may have heard of Aaron Russo, and I hope I apologize for putting this up late, but he does talk about a very interesting interview in regards to what led up to 9/11. And I'm going to just put it up here. I apologize for putting this up late. It's about a few minutes long, and
we know everyone's looking for ways to save.
Again, apologize for their little commercial here. notwithstanding, but for those who do not know who Aaron Russo is, he was extremely close and good friends with knew of Rockefeller. There was a, what he did disclose to him explains a lot of what were the intentions by the Bilderbergs, the World Trade Organizations. Unfortunately, he had passed away. But I think it's enlightening to know some of the facts of that interview. For those who haven't heard it, I highly suggest, and I was thinking about maybe placing it on, but here it goes. Here's what he has to say.
The sections, the European currency, the euro, and the European Constitution is one part of it. Now they're trying to do it in America with the North American Union, right? And they want to create a new currency called the Amero, right? And the whole agenda is to create a one world government where everybody has an RFID chip implanted in them. All money is to be in those chips, right? There'll be no more cash. And this is getting me straight from Rockefeller himself. This is what they want to accomplish.
So that was talking to you about that. You can always please do go on YouTube. His name is Aaron Russo. He passed away not long ago, a few years ago. But he did disclose, if you listen, then Google that, Aaron Russo, R-U-S-S-O. I don't want to go into that. It's really getting off subject here because it gets into the world order systems, which is not my subject today. I just want to get that. So why we talk about, is there tyranny in our government? Is there absolutism? Yes, there is. There are the people who, the politicians are not the ones who run it, but the people behind them actually are, and that's actually a fact. I just want to show you the point that he was talking about in some statements. That there was, he did talk to, Rockefeller did talk about implementing a lot of things. He actually told him before 9/11 was going to happen. 9/11 happened. He told him about how they're going to try to make things change. That was actually a breaking point in 9/11, if you think about it. With the Patriot Act, a lot of things started rolling down the hill. A lot of things are being manufactured even in our economy as we speak. So, and manipulated because, again, things are more in control. Now, what do you think? Why in America they do not want you to have guns? Why do they not want to have Americans have guns? If you look into world history, they're not stupid. And I say they being those who are bankers, the elite families, if you want to call them that. It would be, if you took away the guns from Americans, they're the last battleground, if you want to hold out, for a new world order totally taking an effect. They know that if they actually went in, they'd have riots on the street. I mean, I was here in 93 in Los Angeles. Hell, the National Guard couldn't even hold down the people. People talk about, oh, they got drones or this. Well, excuse me. First of all, I don't think the military will start shooting up left and right to their own brothers and sisters and their mom and dad who have guns. That would be one big problem. There would be literally a civil war in the United States, and they know that. So if they can sort of some way limit or control and slowly take away guns from American people, then they'll have it. But that's why they're afraid of Americans. So why in Europe they can easily have the EU, they can never have the same system right now in the United States and losing its complete sovereignty under an EU plan like they have in Europe. It's because of Americans' individualism and their desire for freedom. This is what people don't understand outside. We have different ethics because we have absolute freedoms in our desire. That includes freedom of speech, which a lot of people don't understand. Now, there's one woman I think it's important to listen to her. Now, speaking of what happened in Sandy Hook, you ask people who may have been there, you'll have different interviews of people who have gone through. Well, there's a famous murder that it was actually a massacre called the Luby Massacre, which occurred in October 16th, 1991. It was Colleen in Colleen, Texas. And Dr. Susan Gratia was one of the survivors. And I'm going to I want you to listen to her taping before a congressional hearing. And she was actually had the right to legally allowed to carry a concealed weapon in Texas, but unfortunately became fearful of being arrested for carrying it because of Democrat legislators at the time in 1901 began to prosecute people for carrying their firearms. So she didn't have her gun with her. So Dr. Gratia left her gun in her car instead of carrying it in her purse, as she usually did. Then a gunman burst into the restaurant on that infamous day and killed her own parents while they're eating. She made it out, but her parents didn't. I want you to listen to what she says. This is an average American. She's not a crazy person, just an average person, and she tells it like it is.
Let me make sure that you understand, I'm not here representing the NRA. I'm not even a member, okay? Secondly, I'd like to say that in your opening statements, you commented specifically on my testimony, saying that basically it had nothing to do with this issue, and I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting, but I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21. To carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know,
I apologize. Slight delay here.
Let me make sure that you understand, I'm not here representing the NRA. I'm not even a member, okay? Secondly, I'd like to say that in your opening statements, you commented specifically on my testimony, saying that basically it had nothing to do with this issue. And I had to chuckle because then I noticed you had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that, I didn't grow up in a house with guns. I don't hunt. I personally abhor hunting. But I was given a gun by a friend when I was 21 to carry in my purse for self-defense, and I was taught how to use it. A couple of years ago, my parents and I went to a cafeteria in Texas on a bright sunny day. We weren't in a dark alley where we weren't supposed to be. And as you all know the story, this madman drove his truck through the window. And he began shooting. Well, immediately, my father and I got down on the floor and put the table up in front of us. And this guy kept shooting. And you're thinking, well, you know, what could it be? Is it a robbery? That's the first thing that generally comes to mind. And he keeps shooting. It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could. Now, I'd like to make something clear. I hear all this talk about how many bullets can go in a clip. I've been there. I can tell you it doesn't matter. It takes 1 second to switch out a clip. You can have one bullet or 100 bullets. It doesn't matter, guys. I've been there. He goes, stop, stop. Just like that, that's not enough time to rush a man, I promise you. When I finally realized what was occurring, I thought, I got him. And I reached for my purse. He was maybe 12 feet away. You know, is it possible my gun could have jammed? Sure. Is it possible I could have missed? Sure. But I can tell you, I've hit much smaller targets at much greater distances. But then I realized that a couple of months earlier, I had made the stupidest decision of my life. I took my gun out of my purse and left it in my car. Because as you well know, in the state of Texas, it's sometimes a felony offense to carry a gun in your purse. I can tell you that I'm not mad at the guy that did this. As he continued, it was obvious that he was a madman. My father, at that point, said, I've got to do something. I've got to do something. He's going to kill everybody in here. And he rushed the man. No way. This guy turned, shot him in the chest. He went down, was obviously mortally wounded. For whatever reason, that made the man change directions and go off to my left. Shortly thereafter, someone at the back of the restaurant broke out a window. When I saw what looked like an opportunity to escape, I turned around and I grabbed my mother by the shirt and I said, come on, come on, we've got to run, we've got to get out of here. And then my feet grew wings and I was out the back window. As soon as I got out, I realized that my mother had not followed me out. And as I learned from the police officers, she had crawled over to where my father was and cradled him until the guy got back around to her, put the gun to her head, she looked up at him, put her head down, and he pulled the trigger. My parents had just had their 47th wedding anniversary. She wasn't going anywhere. As I mentioned, I'm not really mad at the guy that did this, and I'm certainly not mad at the guns that did this. They didn't walk in there by themselves and pull their own triggers. The guy that did it was a lunatic. That's like being mad at a rabid dog. I'm mad at my legislators for legislating me out of the right to protect myself and my family. I would much rather be sitting in jail with a felony offense on my head and have my parents alive. As far as these so-called assault weapons, you say that they don't have any defense use. You tell that to the guy that I saw on a videotape of the LA riot, standing up on his rooftop, protecting his property and his life from an entire mob with one of these so-called assault weapons. Tell me that he didn't have a legitimate self-defense use. Just one final statement. I've been sitting here getting more and more fed up with all of this talk about these pieces of machinery having no legitimate sporting purpose, no legitimate hunting purpose. People, that is not the point of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is not about duck hunting. And I know I'm not going to make very many friends saying this, but it's about our rights, all of our rights, to be able to protect ourselves from all of you guys up there.
Did you hear it? In a congressional hearing, She had said it best. The right of us bearing guns was not even about protecting us individually. It's not about gun hunting. It's not about target. It was protecting us about you guys. And she was pointing out to the senators and the congressmen from the government. She told her how it was. That is the truth. And I'll reiterate. Again, George Washington had said one important comment. Firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution in itself. They are the American people's liberty teeth. And Thomas Jefferson himself, I say again, the greatest danger to the American freedom is a government that ignores the Constitution. The Second Amendment calls a well-regulated militia be necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And just as Ben Franklin had said, they that can give up a central liberty to obtain a little safety deserve neither safety nor liberty. And just as you heard, as I just said, we have the right to bear arms. As Thomas Jefferson had said, the strongest reason for the people to retain the right and to keep and bear arms is a last resort to protect ourselves against a tyranny in government. Are we not within that? Do you not see that? These are not my own situations. These are not my own things. This is Dr. Garcia said in there, back in her testimony, she was a victim of a mass shooting, and it was the legislators who prevented her to even protect herself. She reminded me of one thing during 93, because I remember 93 riots. And, you know, the police couldn't protect their own citizens. Couldn't have the National Guard. And I remember people standing with AKs and assault rifles, top of the roofs, and mobs running in, looting left and right. And the only ones who had guns, who stand over the roofs, didn't have self-looted. There was protection. You are on your own. And that's just talking the individual protection. But the real protection of having guns, again, is like Thomas Jefferson said, the strongest reason for people to retain the right and bear arms is a last resort against two, a tyranny in government. And you don't think we have a tyranny in government? What do you think of the special interests? Do they really care about the middle Americans? Do they care about the middle class? They're even talking about maybe abrogating our Social Security, changing it around, or Medicare. You vote for a president, Obama back in 08, and with a promise of public option for health care. No, he got a Obamacare, which basically gives more help for the insurance companies. Why? Because now it's enforced to get insurance, supposedly to lower the rates. Yeah, they can't deny your coverage. They can just go, okay, we'll charge you $1,000 more. And they have, of course, the government ones and da-da-da. Healthcare is a right, not a privilege. Yet, they're not doing anything. Look how our government is actually run. Is it being run by the people? Or is it run by a different system? Even our own Supreme Court is full of shit. Think about it. Just recently, they determined, this is how you know we have problems in our government. Even we can't really have protection down there, and our judicial system is not even protecting our rights. That's how tyrannical our government's turned. They have implored that saying that corporations are all of a sudden individuals, that they have, corporations have the right to have free speech. Corporations, saying that they're people. They have never abrogated or controlled any of the financial monies that go to any politician running. There was a law, I think it was by Montana, for lasted for over 100 years, and it was basically they were restricted from any, limited the funds going to any individual from any person or corporation for campaign financing, you know, campaign funds, contributions, and they tore that apart. So it basically gave full right to politicians are bought. So when some great late comedian once said, you know, who are the real owners that own America, control America? And we all know who I'm talking about, hopefully. It gets you to wonder, you know, who really runs our country? And we do have a system right now that's in place that is absolute despotism. I mean, it's becoming more tyrannical as we move forward. But I implore people to really question on the motives behind this latest attempt to gun control. Why the media? And I want you to question your people why this motive is in place. And I also want to question, going back into issues of, let's say, conspiracies, supposed conspiracies, but they aren't really supposed, why hasn't there never been mention of Bilderbergs on any of the national media? I mean, that would tell you something else. You know, it's just amazing. I often wonder what is it that people have become simply so ignorant of what's been going on for how long or whatever. They forget or are just ignorant of what our rights are, ignorant of who we are, what we stand for. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, George Carlin, who was, by the way, one who I was talking about, who mentioned the owners of the country who really controls America, made that comment about who the real owners are, and you ain't one of them, speech or slick or whatever. But he also said how they want America to be uneducated, uninformed, because that's how they want you to be. And it's time to re-educate yourself to the truth. That's what I'm for. That's what the certain shows here, whether it's on BBS or whatever, should be doing, giving you another reapproach to investigate on your own. Feel what's really right. And one of the last things I can say is you got to look at what they're really trying to do. When I use they, I'm talking about those who are really behind the strings, pulling the strings of the puppets, the puppet masters, and why they want this to happen. And you got to think about what our real rights are. And if we set our goals and we put, as American people, say, hell no, we're not going to take it anymore, with passion, like, I mean, what's his name was saying a long time ago? I remember Jones was made a comment of that, but he was sort of right. I'm not going to take it anymore. I'll get passionate. Are you going to scream out when they put you on a train and stick you into a relocation system? Do you think that can't ever happen in the United States? People thought that in Germany. It did happen in the United States. Ask the Japanese Americans. Ask the Native Americans. Even recently. So I ask you, please reevaluate, re-look into it, and explain to your neighbors and what our real rights are. What was our forefathers saying? I mean, Thomas Jefferson is sounding more like a prophet every day, talking about our banking system, of giving our issuance of currency to a private banks. Look what we did. We're now beholden to them. We're slaves. He talked about warning us about tyranny in government by taking our guns away, and hear what they're doing. So I just want people to re-look and re-educate themselves. You don't even just listen to me. Look it up yourself. That's what I implore. That's what I want you to do. So with that, on this glorious day of the 18th of January, I want to thank you all for listening to me. I wish you all greatness and good health for this coming year as we're starting to head off into soon to be, I guess, the new Chinese New Year will be the Year of the Snake. And with all my words, we are all one, one universe, one consciousness, all connected to one another, connected to God, connected to the universe. God bless you all. Have a glorious, glorious weekend. And I'm going to close with a little something I thought you guys might like, but I was going to close with some things that I thought you might like a little bit of Leonard Skinner of Simple Man. Thank you, and God bless you all. So give me a second till it rises. Sorry for the delay. I was putting one tape to another to you guys. I do want to reiterate for those who are listening. I apologize for the delay here. But I do have a special event again that's in February 23rd. I'm also planning another one, which I'll tell you, and I will be updating on you, setting up schedules with new interviewees, new guests, as I'm updating my schedule of people who to be on my show. I'm extremely, as you know, selective in who I have, and I will inform you in the coming days and next months to check it out on my post for who we'll have on my show. Again, I want to thank you, and sorry for the quick delay, but here's Leonard Skinner with Simple Man. God bless you.
I'm a true man.
Thank you, and God bless you all. Have an extraordinary weekend. Thanks.